Hello, hello everyone. CCNK here. Happy Monday. It is October 1st, 2018. And I think I'm in a just a good space to just kind of kick off the month, kick off the last quarter of the year with some inspiration. And I kind of wanted to fire my own self up, so I had to kind of dig deep on what I wanted to talk about in order to do so. And I figured I'd answer a question that I get so often from fellow artists, and that is, how do I leave my full-time job? I want to become a full-time makeup artist. How'd you do it? And I thought it was kind of enough to create that first podcast about what my story was and, how I didn't let fear hold me back. If you haven't listened to my first podcast, please listen to it because it is a more in-depth introduction into, how I got my start in makeup. But I will kind of go, more in detail as to how I actually made the jump from working in the corporate, space to being a full-time freelancer and, still doing it for the past 4 years now. So, I think, I'm going to go through this, literally just from my experiences and give my perspective and my advice. But, please know that this, I think this is kind of more specific to the makeup artist, the hairstylist, the nail artist, the kind of creative entrepreneur, who's selling service. I feel like, when it comes to selling products, I would say, my first point would be a really good question for you to ask yourself. So with that said, I will kick off, what my number one point is. And that is to determine if it's truly necessary for you to make that jump. Like, I cannot tell you how important that first thing is. Really take some time and evaluate, is it truly necessary for me to jump? Or am I doing it because it looks like everybody else is doing it? Am I doing it because the person I aspire to, the creative that I aspire to be or that I admire is doing it? She's full time, Or do I want to look more accessible on Instagram? Do I want to be able to, go to the mall during the weekday, during, 9 to 5 hours? Or like, are you doing it for the look of being free? Are you doing it for the look of not being in the office, behind the laptop and, in the cubicle? Like, what are you truly doing it for? That is so important, because if you are answering that question like that, I would say you are doing it for the wrong reasons, and I would say do not jump just yet. Really evaluate the maturity of your understanding of your business, what you do, what you can offer, and how you can make money before you step out on a limb like that. Because, I know that when people have a passion, burning inside of them, sometimes that full-time job can seem like it's holding you back. Sometimes it can seem like, oh my gosh, like I just can't take it anymore. Like, this is just, this is not what I want to do. I don't even care about what I'm going into the office for. Like, that is very true, and I understand that feeling 100%. But understand the blessing that full-time job is giving you, the security to build, to grow, to learn, especially if you're working at a company that is doing very, very well and is very, very successful. Pay attention, when you go to work. Now start to look at your job as going in there and being like a little spy. Like, okay, so this is how a well-oiled machine, a well-functioning company works. They have departments, they have, the team structure of, how you have, the worker bees at the bottom who are really digging deep doing, and then the executives at the top who are selling business, who are getting opportunities, and creating those opportunities into projects, which then trickles down into, the other departments beneath, for people to actually do the work, how they're looking. Like, you've got to start to look at your job as the blessing it truly is and say, hey, I am working for a what? Like, if you are working for a corporate, Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 company, you're in a blessed position. You know what I mean? And so you should start to pay attention to how they are running their company and what they are doing well. And absorb all of that. Take notes, write it, write it down. Like, don't think that that is not to your benefit. And I'm going to get into a little bit later why, and how to leverage that. So determine if it's necessary to jump. So I determined that it was necessary to jump from my full-time job to being a makeup artist full time was I found that I was about 50% of the time I was turning down opportunities just the same amount as I was getting opportunities. And I was turning down those opportunities because I wasn't available during the week during business hours. Like I wasn't available. Like it would be like, hey, there's this photo shoot and it's on, you know, a Tuesday at 2 p.m. And so I would miss out on an opportunity to work with somebody truly amazing because I'm in my full-time job. And when that frequency started to increase and it just started to happen like more and more and more, I'm like, okay, that was when it really started to dawn on me. Like, okay, it might be time for me to make this jump. Now, mind you, I always knew I wasn't going to be at that full-time job for long. Just because the nature of the business, I knew that it just didn't really work for me. You know, I worked for one of the leading management consulting firms in the country. And it was a really great gig, you know, right out of college. I was making a really great amount of money for a 22-year-old coming out of college. You know, I was not that far off from six figures. And I was doing really well, great benefits. I had 4 weeks paid vacation. You know, sometimes I could work from home. I mean, like, in terms of the perks of the job, there were a lot of bonuses to it. But at the same time, as you know, move through the company and you move up, it becomes more and more demanding of your schedule. You know, you could be out of the state, you know, Monday through Thursday. You have long days. Like, it's not, no, oh, you're coming in at 9 and you're leaving at 5. Oh, no, you're leaving after your client leaves, you know, and then after and sometimes if your client doesn't want to leave, you guys are going out for drinks and you got to smooth them up and you got to, it was a business that you had to give so much of yourself because it was a dog eat dog world. Turnover was high. And so you were being evaluated and ranked against your counterparts. And so if they're the ones who's going to the cocktail hour or happy hour, you know, right after, you know, work and you're leaving because you want to go work on your business, like that's the person who might get, you know, the better ranking over you on, you know, a call about evaluating, you know, all the people on the level to get promotions. So it was definitely in a very, very competitive environment. And I just always saw myself as the person who wanted to be a mom someday, a wife someday. And I just felt like, how the hell would I be able to keep up with a lifestyle like that where I'm out of the state, you know, most of the time. So that was how I kind of, you know, chose like, okay, this is not, I know I won't be here for long. How long I'll be there for, I'm not sure, but I knew I wouldn't be there for long. And then, like I said, I picked up artistry in 2011 and, it was around 2013 when I said, okay, it may be time for me to consider my options. And so I decided to do just that. So number one, just determine if it's necessary to jump. And I wanted to spend a lot of time on that particular topic because that is everything. Like really, truly have an honest conversation with yourself of is it truly necessary for you to jump? And again, I am in a service-based business. So it requires me to stand on my feet to earn every dollar that I make, you know, when I'm selling the service part of my business. But if you're a person who's selling product, you're selling t-shirts, you're selling hats, you're selling, you know, makeup goods, you're selling, you know, if you're selling goods, it might not be necessary for you to be accessible, you know, Monday through Thursday at 2 p.m., you know, or Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. or during those traditional business hours. So why would you necessarily leave such a great, you know, job security, health insurance, and all those different types of things. Why leave that if it's really not that necessary? So evaluate that. Again, I'm speaking from the perspective of someone who is in the business of service, where I am the person who I'm selling myself. I'm selling my skill. So that's number one. Number two, you have to make sure that you have a nest egg savings. Now, this is a no-brainer, and I think this is the part that people have the most questions about. Like, how much should I have had saved? And I would say, you know, definitely save at least anywhere from 3 to 6 months of your income. So if you're making, you know, $3,000 a month, or if you're making $5,000 a month, like you want to make sure that you have anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000 saved so that, you know, once you stop, it's like you've never missed a beat. You know what I mean? Like you give yourself a nice little cushion to still be able to figure it out. And it is so important that I hope that you're making that jump after you started to make revenue in your side hustle. Like if you're not making any money in your side hustle, I would say that you need to have a year. saved, like a year's worth of your income saved. Because I mean, I don't know. I think that that's way too soon to jump. But again, I don't know what your business is. You can only be confident in your business. But I would say at a minimum 3 to 6 months of your income should be saved. Or you could look at it as 3 to 6 months of your total expenses being saved. So that, yeah, you might make 3K a month or you might make 5K a month. But if your monthly expenses are only 2,000, you know, then you can technically you can survive off of, you know, making sure that you have $2,000 saved for each month. So like you can have like anywhere from $6,000 to $8,000 saved technically, but you don't want to be so tight like that anyways. You know, you definitely want to be able to still, if you can, save a little bit. But again, you have to have started some revenue coming in from your business. So just in terms of real figures, real numbers, that's what I would recommend in terms of having in your bank account. 3 to 6 months of either your expenses, but what ideally would be the case would be to have 3 to 6 months of your income that you were getting from your full-time job saved before you jump. Now, before I go to the next point, number three, with that said of having your savings, you must do an inventory of your expenses and realize that there is some nonsense that you can cut out. So that was my saving grace before I left. I cut a lot of my expenses down. So my decision was about strategically leaving was to leave the company, but then I was going to go back to school and for my graduate degree, I was gonna get my master's. And so obviously I had to wait till I got accepted. So I was applying to grad schools while I was still working for my full-time job. And then once I got the acceptance letter, that was when I was like, okay, well, I can accept this and I can jump, you know, now that I have the options in my hand. But so when I realized that, and also the other reason why I wanted to apply to grad school and not just quit cold turkey and just become a full-time makeup artist is because I do care about my health and I wanted full-time health insurance. So I knew that going back to school full-time as a graduate student would afford that for me and would give me decent health insurance. So I decided to do that. And one thing I did was evaluate my expenses by saying, okay, well, I don't need to be paying for this LA Fitness gym membership, $30 a month, because I'm going to be able to go back to school full time. And there's a gym at my college. So boom, I took that $30. I canceled my gym membership. I think I had Netflix. And I said, well, you know what? I'm going to be in graduate school. I'm going to be studying. You know, I don't have time to be watching Netflix. So canceled that. I think at that time it was like $7 a month. And the number one thing you don't want to do is be like, oh, it's only $7 a month. That's like nothing. I don't got to get rid of that. No. If you say that 3 times or 5 times for, you know, your expenses, that $7 a month could have been, you know, $30 a month that you could have saved. You times that by 12. Okay. That's hundreds of dollars you could have saved. So don't diminish, you know, the amount of, you know, what you could be saving if it's under $10 or something. At the time I was rocking a gel manicure and I would get that done every 4 weeks. I stopped getting my nails done. You know, that was, you know, my manicure, my pedicure, that was easily $60-$70 a month, that I was spending. So boom, cut that too. So already that's already like over $100 saved for me. Right there. And there were a few more things. I'm trying to think off the top of my head what they were, but there were a few more things that I just started to cut the expenses. Like, I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need that. And just really do that inventory. Check yourself and realize what you could sacrifice so that you can bring your expenses down. So by the time I quit my full-time job, the only thing that I had to pay for was my cell phone bill, my car insurance. I don't know. Was there much else? And that was it. So yes, I'll be humble to say I was living at home with my parents. That was something where fresh out of college, I could have moved out, you know, with the full-time job that I had. I could have, you know, moved on and moved out of my parents' house and had my own apartment. But I looked at it as, okay, well, am I going to move out to a place where I'm paying $1,500 a month in rent? Or should I be paying $1,500 a month to my student loans so I can bring that down? Like, coming out of college, I only had, you know, a few thousand dollars in undergraduate student loans. Like, literally, my undergrad student loans were under 20K, which for a lot of people, that's like unheard of. Like, that's a blessing. So I'm like, you know, let me get rid of this debt. And I paid off my undergraduate student loans within a year because I essentially looked at it as, instead of me moving out, I'm going to act as if, you know, I have rent, you know, because I always like to test to see if I'm able to afford something. So I'll start saving $1,400 to figure out if I could truly afford $1,400 a month or $1,500 a month for rent. So I said, you know what? Well, I'll, instead of saving it, I will just pay off my student loans very, very aggressively. And that's what I did. So I had no student loans to pay before I quit, because all that was paid off by 2011. Also, my car was passed down from my mom. So she gave me a car note to pay for, and I paid off my car. So it took me probably 2 years to pay off the car. And, I made sure that my car note was paid off before I quit as well. So that expense was gone. So that $400 that I was paying for my car note, I didn't have to worry about, you know, as someone who left her full-time job. So all these big expenses were good, like, you know, were not something I had to worry about. So you have to evaluate that. Like, do you have the opportunity to go back home if you left already? Are you considering, you know, moving out? I would say don't. You know, look into roommate situations if it is required of you to move out, you know, but like, make sure those big expenses like rent, you know, and utilities and things like that, and your car note and things of those nature, or if you have a child, you know, make sure your childcare, like, make sure you can reduce that significantly. Can you let someone babysit your child? You know, can you pay a family member to babysit your child, you know, multiple times, you know, during the week instead of taking them to childcare? So really, really evaluate that, because you have to make sacrifices if you're going to make this jump. So while I say have a nice savings, also evaluate what your expenses truly need to be before you leave, so that by the time you have left, like, you literally have like only a few things to pay for a month. Because that was my saving grace. I didn't really have to stress because I have very, very few bills. Number three, that took more time than I thought. Number three, get your training out of the way. So any type of training that needs to be done, I would say do that while you have a full-time job, if it's physically possible. Now, if you're going back to, you know, some type of school or training, obviously, you know, and during the day, then yeah, that would be hard to do it with a full-time job. But get your training out of the way, because you want to make sure that you are skilled and confident in your skills to be able to execute. Because once you leave your full-time job, I hope that's not for you to still continue to just, you know, completely explore. You have to have had a game plan. You have to have had, I would personally recommend that you have to have been very, very comfortable in your skills and your ability to start executing, like just literally come out of the blocks running, you know? So make sure that if you are a makeup artist, you've taken all the master classes that you want to take, and hopefully your full-time job would have been able to afford you those opportunities. You have, you know, been able to assist or do something of that nature before you leave, so that when you leave, you're good. Like, you're literally like, it's go time. Like, I know what I'm doing. It's go time. That is very, very important. So be very mindful of that. Any one-on-one trainings you need to do, any, you know, online trainings you need to do, you know, quick camps or, quick class, summer sessions, whatever it is you need to do, get that out of the way so that whatever skills you have, you are executing and you're not still trying to like figure out once you quit. I just personally think it will help with your confidence, you know, after you have left. So number four, now, before you leave, this is so important. Take what you have learned from your full-time job. So save all of the documentation, save presentations, save Excel sheets, any type of formatting. Like I said, you were a little spy. Like, once you realized you were ready to leave, like, you became a little spy in your own full-time job. And you were watching how this, you know, Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 company was working. So now take all the documentation that, you know, people were using at work to be able to run the company with you, because you never know when you're going to be able to use it. Obviously, do not ever share confidential, you know, or, you know, proprietary information about that company. You do not want to get sued, you know, but just literally for templates and formatting. So, you know, like, okay, if you had an opportunity to see how a proposal was written, say that. if you saw how it was to hire somebody, save that information or make notes, you know, take notes, write it down. You will forget very easily once you leave that life. Take all the documentation that you can, because it's going to help you run your business. If you were, you know, in the business aspect of whatever company you were at and you had to write project plans or whatever it is, take those project plans with you. Identify all those steps. Like if you had any type of system that you had to use in order to work, take that with you. Make note of that because you may need to use it. And whatever you can use to run your business, I'm sure it will be in your best interest to have, you know, to have, you know, taken that in from a company that was running very, very well and is very successful. So that was like your business school. You know, it's like you take all your homework and all your projects with you, you know, after you leave business school. So look at it from that perspective that you're taking this information with you. That's number four. Then number five, you've actually left, you've put your 2 weeks in, you've let people know, you know, definitely leave respectfully because you never know who you may run into later on in life. Like never leave on a bad note, never just walk out, never don't do things like that. Leave respectfully. And I don't care if your job even treated you poorly. You always leave respectfully and make sure that you have your reputation is intact. So leave respectfully. Give your 2 weeks notice. Let your team know. Be of as much help as you can be, you know, so that it's a smooth transition for them to, you know, survive without you. And then with your new business, announce that you have this new availability. Let people know, put it out there. Hey, I'm now available, blah, 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 these times. Set up, you know, this is when as a makeup artist, you can set up test shoots, you know, reach out to photographers. Hey, I'm now available at this time. I know I missed opportunities in the past, but I would love to do a shoot with you. Or, you know, reach back out to those people who contacted you and you had to turn down because you weren't available. Let them know like, hey, I'm now, you know, accessible on Wednesdays. So if you ever need me, you're scheduling something again, you know, please reach back out. Would love to work with you. You have to now let people know that you've made this transition. And that is so, so paramount. So that is what I would say in terms of how to actually leave, like the things that you should do and get in order before you have left. And then at the end of the day, the rest is up to you. You know, by this time, like I said, I would have hoped that you were already bringing in revenue, from your business that you're also well into the skills, you know how to apply your skills. At this part, it's just go time. It's execution time. Now all you have to do is keep doing what you're doing. But now that your availability has opened up, it should double. It should multiply. And so, you know, throw yourself into different opportunities. And that's when you don't turn down jobs anymore. Like you don't get picky. That's when you just say, hey, if this is unpaid, it's okay. You know, I'll do it this one time because I want to expand my network. That's when you go to, that was back when I was going to Fashion Week. That was back when I was, you know, going to the industry party. You know, if I got invited, I was putting myself out there because, hey, I want to be in this network of people. I want to be in this circle. It's so, so important to now start throwing yourself into those opportunities that you were missing all along because you were in the office. And that is truly paramount. And then the rest is up to you, really and truly. The rest is up to you to continue to execute. And then as a full-time makeup artist, you know, in order to run a really smooth business is to make sure that you are not only resting upon those services, you know, that got you there in the first place, you know? So as I started out, you know, this podcast by talking about, I am selling my service, I'm selling myself, I'm selling my skill. At some point you have to create products, whether they're online products, eBooks, you know, tutorials, or being able to function, make your business function on an online platform, thinking about selling goods. Like you have to create tiers within your business of how people can work with you. So right now my tier is, if you're a celebrity clientele, that's the highest tier, right? So my rates are the highest for celebrities. If you require me to fly out of the country, my rates are the highest because you're taking me away from potential customers for an entire weekend and you're getting this exclusivity. So anyone that is high touch, that's a higher tier, right? So my rates are high, but not everybody can work with me at that level. And then I would say next comes brides, right? So brides are also high level because you know, I have to make sure that I am accessible, you know, not only to, you know, the bride or her wedding day, but also leading up to it. A lot of communications, a lot of planning, a lot of timelines created, you know, her bridal trial, and, you know, being able to guarantee you a date on my calendar a year in advance. You know, that affects my life, my personal life, my family planning. You know what I mean? So that requires a lot of me. So it's going to require a lot for you to be able to work for, you know, with me. Then, you know, you have like your photo shoots. You need me for a few hours in the day. Maybe you're, you know, you're doing something for your business. You want headshots, you want whatever. That's another level. Then there's the everyday glam. Then there's the, hey, or you want to learn from me. You're another artist. You want to, you know, like I have different type of services that I can offer my different clients. And then in addition to that, there's different ways I can offer it to you. So I can come to you, you can come to me, I can be online, it can be in person. And then obviously, you know, the next venture that I'm always trying to build up is more so online products. So things that sell itself. I don't need to physically be there or be present in order for it to run and function. So you have to just make sure that as an artist, you're not solely resting on that service-based part to be able to continue to bring in income. So you have to start to expand and think about yourself as a business from that perspective. And that's why I was saying, make sure you were paying attention when you were at your full-time job, because you noticed, okay, there were different departments. There was the legal department, the marketing, there was, you know, there was finance, there was this. And so you have all these different departments and different people underneath of it, making it run smoothly. And essentially you need to create that within your own business, all these different departments or service lines, and you need to make sure that those are running so that people can work with you on a multifaceted level. Like you shouldn't just be doing, you know, personal glam and weddings. Like you have to expand outside of that, create other opportunities for people to work with you. So that is my long-winded explanation of how I made the jump and how I would recommend making the jump and things that you should do just before you actually do take that leap of faith. And I guess I will close by saying, you know, one of the things that was not on my top five list was pray and to make sure that this is a, you know, a purposeful thing that you're doing and that you truly feel connected in it, and make sure that the thing that you, this side hustle that you're jumping into, you really are genuinely passionate about it and you really genuinely care. Because what I can promise you is that if you are not passionate about your business, you will quit. It's number one. It's a proven fact. I think it is, or I'm gonna say it is. It's a proven fact that if you are not passionate about your business, you will eventually quit. A lot of the times these businesses that are successful, the reason why they are successful is because they stayed the course. It's just about longevity. They lasted, you know, they lasted through, you know, going from MySpace to Facebook to Instagram to YouTube, and they kept adapting. You know, they kept adapting through it all, you know, and then they got on the IG live too. And then they got on whatever the next thing is going to be. They got on the podcasting. They, you know, like you kept with the times of all the things of how it was changing within your business. They stayed the course. So if you are not passionate about it, you will not have the stamina to do that. So make sure, you know, that above anything, you are passionate about what you do. And so just to recap, number one, determine if it's even necessary for you to jump and be smart about that conversation and honest about that conversation you have with yourself. Make sure that you have a nest egg of savings, at least 3 to 6 months of your savings, of your income, or savings of your expenses, and make sure that you're chopping down what your expenses actually are. Then number three, make sure that you get all of your training out of the way so that once you jump, it's all about execution. You're not really trying to still perfect all of your skills. You got a good ground foundation. You can always still build upon them, but it's like you have perfected your skill in a way where you can now go and execute without any fear of, you know, messing somebody up or damaging, a relationship with a client because you're inexperienced. And then number four, make sure that you take what you have learned from your business. You know, all those things that you learn from your business is being that little spy, that little plant. Make sure you take that with you and you leave on a good note respectfully. And then number five, announce your new availability and immerse yourself into this new network of people that you were missing out on because you weren't available during business hours. You weren't available during the weekdays. Just throw yourself in it and just keep pumping out content. Create content for people to know what it is you do, how they can get in touch with you, how often they can work with you. And that's truly how you leave your full-time job and you become a creative full-time, and you're freelancing freelancing and working for yourself, you have to really just, at that point, that part's on you. You know, you can figure it out from there. So I hope that this podcast served you well, you know, and if you thought that it was amazing insight into how to make that jump, please share this with someone who you know needs it, who's in the same exact position as you. Please, please share it with them, because I want this message to reach as many people as possible. Once again, I'm your girl, CC Nike. Please check me out on Instagram if you are not following me already. My Instagram handle is @CC_Nike. So that's @SISI_NIKE. My website, ccnike.com. You can work with me. There's links there for you to reach out to me and send an inquiry. I'll get back to you. You know, I'm a makeup artist, I'm a beauty educator, and I'm also a chemical engineer. And so there's so many capacities that I can serve you. And I'm so glad that you listened to this, to this podcast to the very, very end. So thank you so much. I hope that you enjoy, you know, the rest of your fourth quarter, finish up 2018 strong, and you will hear from me again on my next podcast. So stay tuned.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.